Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Pam Muller. She is a dream expert. She's been on the podcast once before. She's discovered some new things that she'd like to talk to me about because she sent me this email. And we were like, listen, we got to talk about this. So, Pam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Leslie. I'm really excited to have this conversation.
Well, listen, you had some really interesting things that you took away from listening to this, this PhD, Ruben R. Is it Newman?
Naaman.
Okay. Tell me all about what you discovered.
Okay. So he wrote a book called Healing Night, The Science and Spirit of Sleeping, Dreaming, and Awakening. I was like, I love a good next dream book. Like, yes, give it to me. But what he did, which has like foundationally shifted how I approach really life, but it was by way of dream, is he just looked at the spiritual layers of sleeping, looking at sleep as a spiritual practice and looking at the dimensional nature of sleep. I've read the book like 4 different times. I'm currently running a book study about it. And if anybody joins, subscribe to my newsletter stuff, I'm sure I'm going to be running this book study again because it's such good, new, refreshing content. Listen to your podcast. And the other day it came on and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to talk to Leslie about all of this stuff.
Well, you know, it's so funny because when you and I have talked before, we talked about possible astral travel when we were sleeping, because I remember talking to you about it and we didn't really go, I don't know if we went really into it too much, but then when you said, this guy's talking about dimensional kind of stuff, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. What he's doing is he's basically not abandoning the mechanics of sleep. He's just saying, hey, nobody's also looking at the spiritual aspect of this thing that we do every single night. So let's look at it through a spiritual lens.
Right. Because here's my thing. You know, our bodies need rest, right? We all know that. But the thing is, our souls don't. Our spirit doesn't. And it's constantly needing to be fulfilled in whatever way. And a lot of times we just don't realize we dream as much as we do because I think we dream all night long, many different ways, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I sure do. I mean, I think dreaming is, again, it's a lens you can look through life from. It's a spiritual, symbolic message center. Yeah. And you can see through that dreaming view, waking life. Dreams are, of course, a great place to start learning about that language, but it's the language of intuition. It's the language of your spirit guides, if that's your thing. Right. Like all of that spiritual dimension of who we are can be accessed through the dreams easily.
Well, and that's the thing, because, you know, there's been so many times when I've woken up and I've remembered a dream, and we've talked about this too, and I remember a lot of it, but then you just kind of wait 10 minutes, 5 minutes, even 2 seconds, and it's gone. And it's weird how our subconsciousness can just completely let go of it. Is that a thing that we have to do or what?
Yeah. So here's one of the groundbreaking pieces that Dr. Naaman presented in this book. Okay. It's that falling asleep and waking up is a gradual process, just like dawn and dusk. They are gradual processes, but we in our society don't treat them that way. So even the idea of setting an alarm is a sign of an emergency. So we skip over those liminal spaces when we're half awake and half asleep because we are conditioned to get right. So our ego just comes back on board and says, right, I'm in control. I got what I didn't do yesterday. Off we go.
You know, it's such a poignant thing to say ego, because I do think the ego, obviously we have to have it or we wouldn't really be surviving. But it's such a big character, isn't it? It's such a big thing. And it's easy for someone to let it get out of control, but it's also easy for someone to maybe manipulate it. It just depends on how you feel about it, right?
Yes, right. That's true. Like, ego is definitely necessary, but it's necessary in balance.
Yes.
Right? And we haven't given it balance. And so our ego identity is the only way most of us know how to operate in the world. It's incredibly inflated for most of us. So what happens when we're falling asleep is, if we want to do it from a place of intention, if we are observant of the act of falling asleep, is that we have to face a loss of identity and a letting go of control.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. So is there a way where we can ask our conscious mind to allow the subconsciousness to keep those dreams alive so we can remember them and maybe learn from them? Is there a way we can do that?
Absolutely. And it's really a great suggestion, and it's super easy to do. It just takes curiosity. I wonder if I'll be able to remember, right? You can absolutely. The other term is dream incubation, which is an ancient practice that is about setting an intention to ask for guidance from your dreams. So as you're falling asleep, you can simply quietly repeat to yourself, I'd like to know more about X. I'd like to hear more about this solution. I really don't know what to do about X, right? Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're setting yourself up to ask for guidance from your dreams. And then you can do the same thing in the morning. If you're curious and you carve out time, I tell people to use your snooze. The alarm goes off, you hit your snooze, you've got 9 minutes. Just lay there. Be awake with your eyes open, but don't move. And don't let what's going to happen the rest of the day infiltrate that space.
Yeah.
Just be present and watch that gradual process for yourself.
I love that, because don't you think that we could learn from the dreams, but maybe solve problems from dreams? Do you think that's a spiritual part of it? Or do you think that's just like a subconsciousness figuring it out for us instead of just the conscious mind?
I think it's limiting to say that it's just the subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's just emotional content.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you mentioned astral travel. What we're talking about here is lucidity, right? Mm-hmm. When you're lucid in the dream space, you're aware that you're dreaming, but your ego isn't in control. All of the other things that are connected to you are in control,
yeah.
Which we like to contain it as the subconscious, the unconscious. But honestly, that's where all the mystery is. That's where your connection to the divine is. That's where people have shared dreaming experiences. You know, we enter into the collective and whatever that brings along with it.
Yeah.
So ancient knowledge or precognition or visiting loved ones, all of those things are available to us. Sometimes we get the gift of remembering a dream. But there is also the practice of becoming lucid and just kind of practicing being aware without being in control.
It's true, because it's not just, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, dreaming is just psychological. There's no spirituality to it. And I disagree. I think that we absolutely astral travel, because I've talked to people that have passed away, even in dimensions, have passed away. I had a very good friend pass away from glioblastoma back in, I think it was 2013, she and I had a blog together. It's before I was writing. Actually, I was starting to write then. And I tell you what, I never met her in real life, but I met her in person because she came to me and she was taller than I remember. And I remember saying, you're so tall. And she goes, you know, I'm tall. I told you I was tall. And it was so funny in the dream. She was beautiful and I knew it was her. And it was just the most poignant thing I've ever, ever gone through when it comes to dreaming. And I will never forget it.
Wow.
I couldn't believe, I didn't expect her to come to me, but I wrote a little poem to her husband and they actually read it at her funeral. And I didn't mean for that to happen, but they did. The pastor read it. And I couldn't believe they did that. I just did it for him. And I was happy he did whatever he wanted to do with it. But it's almost like she thanked me for that. And she gave me the biggest hug. And like I said, she was so tall and so beautiful. And I even told him later, she came to me, Stephanie came to me. And I want you to know she is so, so very, very happy where she is. And unfortunately, we had to lose her. But I tell you, she was just all love, just all encompassing love.
That's so amazing. And what you're talking about is that layer of dream space, the spiritual layer of the dream space, where we have these intimate encounters that are not of our doing. It's a gift.
Well, you know, and how I know it was real is I remember every aspect of it. You know, it's kind of like when people have those near-death experiences, they don't really forget a whole lot of it. Some things come later, like my friend Vicki Button said, she remembers them saying, you're not going to remember all of this now, but you will as time goes on. That's why I just had her on the podcast. You guys just heard that episode. But that's another thing. I remembered every single thing about that. To me, that feels more real than just, oh yeah, she came, you know?
Yes, yes, right. You recognized that it had a different felt experience for you.
Yes.
Had some validation outside of your own identity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I mean, it was, like I said, it wasn't expected because, you know, I never met her in real life, but we had a close relationship. We talked every day. I knew her kids, and she even had, I think, a 3-year-old son at the time. How old was he? Yeah, I was 3. And sometimes she put him on the phone. It was just so cute. And I just had a ball talking to him. He was just a doll. And so everybody was really sad when she got the diagnosis, and it was just so unfair and no one really understood. And the whole thing, this is before I did the podcast, before I changed my mind about so many different things. Things that I don't feel about the same then as I do now. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful reunion.
That's just amazing. For me, this entry into this conversation is why I like to start with dreams. It's why I'm like, I just want people to pay attention to them, because we don't have a place to talk about. Well, your podcast is the one place,
right?
That we talk about these mystical encounters, right? I mean, once we get through the other layers, right? So there's like the dictionary layer, which is, I want the dictionary to tell me what my dream means. It's, I'm distant from my dreams and I'm not comfortable yet. And I want you to tell me what you think, right? So it's the outside of myself layer. And then there's the emotional stuff where we start to embody and get in touch with what our own messages are. Our body holds our emotions, our stuck emotions, and they can come out in dreams. And there's the like personal psychological layer where we do our shadow work and we own our different identities, you know, our different parts of ourselves, yeah, that are being suppressed or repressed. But then there is the spiritual layer.
Absolutely.
And that, people are like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I talk about it.
Right. I mean, you know, we need to talk about it, because that's the thing. When I talk to people about just really anything, especially like the near death, because to me, in a way, it's a little bit like a dream. Like you're not even in your body. And guess what? When we astral travel, we're not in the body anymore. You know, our souls leave the body. I'm sure there's some kind of connection, obviously, or we would easily come back in. But I do believe, I don't know if it's an astral travel, I don't know if it's a dimensional thing, I don't know if it's both. I do know that sometimes people sleep with crystals. I got back from Santa Fe about a month ago and I got some black tourmaline, and somebody said, hey, sleep with it under your pillow if you ever want to like not have nightmares, or if you know, want to have negative energy taken away, you know, all these things. And I was like, I never even thought about that. What?
Yeah. For me, everybody has their own like dream personality, right? Everybody's got their own experiences. So I'm not an experiencer of astral travel much. Mm-hmm. I have had my own encounters. Same thing with crystals. I don't naturally feel attuned to them, but I have had encounters I can't explain with them. So like I have exposure to all of that stuff, but it's like whatever you decide, that's where you're putting your intention. Mm. So that opens you up to receive.
Yeah, no, I mean, it totally makes sense. Just like you said, you can tell your mind, hey, I want to remember this dream. I want to remember everything about it. And if nothing else, so I can journal and maybe get over the fact that I keep having a recurring dream about something horrible that happened to me, or I can't get over this feeling of whatever. And maybe this will help me, right?
Yes. And then there's one other major key that I want to make sure that you and I get to here from this book, because we've all seen the sort of map of the unconscious that psychology Carl Jung puts forth of the iceberg floating in the ocean or floating in the water, right? Mm-hmm. The idea is that the part of the iceberg that is above the surface of the water is your conscious mind or your ego. Mm. And then the part of the iceberg that is below the water represents your unconscious, that which is me that I'm not in control of or not aware of.
Right.
And the point of that being that the iceberg is always much bigger under the surface and much more vast than it is above the surface, right? So our ego identity is much smaller than what we have the capacity to tap into. But this is going to flip it all on its head for you, Leslie. Dr. Naaman says, what if dreaming is to waking like the atmosphere is to the earth? Mm. Meaning, what if that unconscious space from which dreams come is the atmosphere we breathe, and our identity is what we see and live out here right now in this waking space?
Oh, wow. It's almost like, you know, like when they talk about space and the black part of space, and then the whatever makes up like planets and stars make up the rest of space, but the rest of it's black. It's like, what if our waking moment is the, tell me again what it was?
Yeah. Dreaming is to waking as the atmosphere is to the earth.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's exactly where my mind went, is instead of having a finite iceberg we actually just extend into space and keep going forever.
Well, no, I mean, it makes sense because I think almost anything's possible at this point, you know, and we've talked about that many times on the podcast where, you know, my box is open. I never know at all by any stretch of any imagination. And the fact that you and I can talk about this and say, what do you think? Well, I don't really for sure know. And really, I don't think you do. And you're the dream expert. But when you talk outside that box of, hey, this is what I think dreams mean, and this is what I think dreams don't mean, because I could ask you, what does it mean when somebody feels like, you know, in a dream, they're naked in class? Or what does it feel like when they're not prepared for a test or whatever? We've all had that stuff. And that's just clinically normal stuff. And I think that's ego stuff too. But when I talk to people like you, or even your death experiencers, when they're like, it feels more real on the other side than it does here, I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, our dreams feel that way too.
Yeah. Some of them, right? Yes. Some of them have that like really profound nature to them. And my obsession is, let's talk about the normal ones so that when the big ones come to you, yeah, because that's not of your doing, you have a framework to be able to like hold your own in that dialogue with the unconscious,
yeah,
to be able to enter into exploration of that topic. So yes, the like naked in class dreams or unprepared for the test dreams, they're your normal run of the mill stress dreams or vulnerability situations, right? Something in waking life triggered you to feel vulnerable, right? But what you're learning when you work through those is you're learning how to pick apart, like, here's the dictionary stuff. Here's the emotional stuff that probably my own shadow contributed to this dream. Mm-hmm. And also, my dreams are always operating at the edge of what I know and giving me the next thing I need to know. So in those normal mundane dreams, we can do the work to get to now, what in here in this boring dream that represents you got triggered and embarrassed yesterday when you were, I don't know, at the post office, and it triggered this vulnerability dream for you.
Yeah.
What's the new piece of information in here that your unconscious is giving you to say, hey, I'm looking out for you. I'm cheering for you. And for your healing of this experience, here's a new way to think about this, right? That's the mystery piece. That's the spiritual component piece. So everyday dreams can have it in there, but you got to learn how to sift through the other stuff to find it.
Yeah, totally understand that, because so many times when you're just like, I think I told you, I always had that dream of my purse being stolen. And I mean, just recurring every time I'd remember that dream, I'd be like, again, I did that again. And I think it's a identity. I don't know what that means. And for some reason, I'm not doing that anymore. I think I just talked about it enough and maybe talked to you about it enough to where it doesn't happen anymore. But it's so funny where even if you just talk about it, sometimes that is all it takes.
Right. Just tending to your dreams makes you receptive to whatever the healing thing is that they're offering.
What do you think about people journaling about their dreams? Would that also help?
Yes. I mean, so the first step you're going to want to do when you tend to them is capture them somehow.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm a part of a new dream app on the market called Dream Egos, which I'll share with you so you can put in the show notes or whatever, but it's just a way to capture your dreams, right? So you can use a voice memo, you can write them down, whatever. But then if you want to journal and do some reflective work with them, you could even look at those different layers. You could journal, like, which are the dictionary pieces in here? Like, what in here feels universal to anybody who has a dream, right? And then which emotional pieces in here? And then where does this dream feel personal to me? Like, where are my own personal specifics coming up? And then finally, you could look for, where's the spiritual stuff in here? Mm-hmm. Or what in here feels like the movement of the divine?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, that's amazing. That's what I think would help a lot of people, because I do think people sometimes don't even want to go to sleep sometimes. Like my daughter, when she was younger, didn't want to sleep. You know, it'd be really helpful for kids too, because, and I don't know how you would approach it with kids, probably about the same thing. Just talk to them, you know, whatever. But there's been so many times when she was like, I don't want to dream tonight because I was so scared. I saw the Coke bottle eye man. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And you know, it was just something that scared her. I don't know if she saw it in some kind of scary movie. But when we talked about it, and then I went in and really just sat down and talked to her and told her there's no reason for her to be scared, but also acknowledging that I got why she was scared, it never happened again.
Oh, that's what a great example of like how to be with somebody who is a deep dreamer, yeah. who's having fear around it. That's really awesome. And yeah. again, just looking at sleep and dreams together as like a twofold thing, giving ourselves over to sleep is really coming face to face with ourselves being fully exposed. So there is like a facing of the darkness when we go to sleep, but then dreams as well. You know, being able to step outside of a dream and understand that it represents something not coming ahead of you, but it's basically emoting something from waking life that still needs to work its way through. And she's not the dream maker, right? Each of us has our own inner dream maker, which depending on who you speak to, everybody might have a different answer as to who it is in there making the dreams for us. Yeah. But to know that that particular part of me is on my side and is looking out for me and is a trusted force for good in my life changes how I see and understand nightmares.
Absolutely. So if you did have someone in your family or in your life that was having maybe recurring, not great dreams, you know, just not even really bad ones, just a weird dream that they're like, I don't know why this keeps happening. And yes, we've talked about talking it out. And sometimes that can really, truly be all it takes. But what if it's just stubborn and it doesn't want to go away? What would you suggest to people?
Yeah, if somebody, if they're avoiding it, because they're like, I do not want to go through this again. Mm-hmm. My best piece of advice is to have them come up with a better scenario. So the place that your dreams occur is the same place that your imagination occurs. It's internally. Okay. So if you practice imagining a better outcome, then two things might happen. One, you may be able to influence this recurring experience the next time you have it. It may start to shift on its own because you are kind of feeding it some different emotions. But two, you may recognize the scenario because you've been practicing it and playing it out in a different way in your head, and it may create a way for it to become a lucid dream. And once you're lucid, then you can wake yourself up, or you can change the outcome, or you can participate differently because your ego is representative of you in the dream. So when you become lucid, then you are in control of yourself, per se.
Okay, first of all, this is almost like a self-healing thing, too.
Mm-hmm. That active imagination and using the dream image, you can do this, yeah. And you're right, in any aspect, it doesn't have to be to address a nightmare specifically. Dream images are really rich and like loaded potent content for you to use in your imagination or in your meditation or in your prayers or in your, you know, envisioning better outcomes for yourself or whatever. Dream images are just so potent for imagination.
Oh my gosh. And you know, it's so true. And even if it's a placebo effect, it still works because all you have to do is just say to yourself, it may take more than one time. It may take, you know, a couple nights of, all right, well, same dang thing happened. I'm going to tell myself again, or I'm going to write it down this time, or I'm going to do whatever you said to do. And we're going to continue working on this because honestly, that's kind of like facing your shadow in a way too, don't you think?
Yes. The more you're afraid of it, the more you repress it, the more you avoid it. Well, you know that, the more it's going to come to you, right?
Yeah.
The more it's going to keep following you around. So if you just turn to curiosity, if you just turn to, in fact, I will tell people all the time, whatever your method is to tap into spiritual grounding, if you have a particular faith and you pray, for example, the rosary every day, like whatever your practice is, bring that into your dream life with you. If you wake up from a nightmare, sit up, imagine the nightmare in your mind. You don't have to relive it, but like picture it like on a movie screen and then surround it with your connection to the divine. Is it angels? Is it spirit guides? Do you ask for your loved one who's crossed over and you call on them all the time in your waking life to help you with things? Call them to the dream.
Because that's your identity. Whoever you associate with, whether you pray to God, whether you talk to a spirit guide, whatever, that's still part of your identity.
Yep. Yep. Right.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I love talking about this kind of stuff because, like I said, the body needs the rest, but our spirits don't. And the fact that they are just like, but we can do so much more for you if you just let us, okay?
We we have more to give. Yeah. I mean, in this book study, we were talking a little bit about the Greek goddess Nyx, who is the goddess of night. She brings the night, like in our rhythmic rotation around the sun. Mm-hmm. And you brought it up too. If you think about the night sky and how much darkness there is enveloping every single spot of light, then you could think about the darkness, the sun setting, going to sleep, being an archetypal representation of unknowing. She's the mother energy. She's the womb being formed in the darkness.
See, that's comforting.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I started collecting black rocks on my like walks and stuff. I have a little altar by my front door now where I place black rocks when I find myself like trying to control something. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's like, oh yeah, darkness, Pam. And I'll take a black rock and put it in the altar of like giving it over to this inner place of unknowing. That is the, for me, the feminine goddess, Nyx.
Why, okay, see guys, see, this is why I had her on too. This is why I think she's so amazing. Because I, you know, the thing is you're thinking outside the box, but you're also giving them great advice on just straight up dreams. But also, because I have to do the paranormal spiritual side of it, we got to talk about that part too. But to me, that's just as integral as the rest of it.
I work at the intersection of all of it, right? I will go as shallow as you need to be, and we will go to fathoms deep. Like I'm with you. I'm here for all of it. I think that's why you and I like clicked so well and get along so well. Cause I'm like, yeah, let's go to all the different depths, including the shallow one. Those are very important places to enter in.
And Pam, I know you can't stay very long. So tell my listeners where they can find you, all of the information about what you do for people, everything.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Sweet Georgia Pam is my brand. So you can find me at sweetgeorgiapam.com. In fact, Leslie, I did this for you. If your listeners will go to my Learn page, which is where there are courses and there's a Moonlight membership where you kind of get access to all the things and everything I churn out that's new, I'm like, Moonlight members just get it a part of their membership. I created a 20% off coupon for everything on my Learn page for your listeners. They just have the discount code FEAR because our host Leslie Fear is guiding us through all the different depths here.
Thank you so much, you guys. What a lovely thing for you to do for the listeners. Thank you so much for that. And I will add all of your information on the show notes. And Pam, as always, you know, I'll have you back, but thank you so much for being on the show again. And we will talk soon.
Thank you for continuing to do all the good stuff you're doing, babe. I love all your conversations. I'm a fan.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.